So when you do things like some people like to do, I don't know, they like to make ceramics or whatever, and they get very good at it. They spend hours, 10, 20 years, become a ceramics master. They get a certificate. When you die, it's gone. The skill is gone. You've wasted so much time developing a skill you can't take with you. But if you develop the qualities that go with your subtle mind, listen carefully. Every time you die, this subtle mind has to take rebirth again. And sometimes this subtle mind will take rebirth in formless realms where you don't have a physical body. It is just mind alone. Yet those qualities still be with you. You will still benefit people in those realms. Still benefit. Beings, rather, beings. So this subtle mind that travels you life after life, when you are incarnated into another body, this subtle mind takes over the body. So normal beings will see their father and mother copulating. They won't see the male and female. They will see either organ that they're attracted to. Either sex of the organ they'll be attracted. The minute they see that when they're wandering Bardo, they'll be by desire, power, desire, they'll go to the sexual organ of the copulating couple. And they want to touch it and be with it, and they enter. They enter the womb by desire. When they enter the womb by desire, the physical constituents of the father and mother, one drop of blood, red, one drop of white sperm combines, forms your body, your mind enters into that immediately. The mind has no size or shape. It can fit into something minute or as big as a mountain. It doesn't really matter. And then when that being develops, the gross mind starts to develop over the 9-month gestation period. The gross mind, your eyes develop, your ears develop, your mouth, your body, your tactile feelings, everything develops. Then your gross mind starts to emerge independence. Independence of the gross physical body. Because the gross mind is associated with gross body. So the eye consciousness will immediately go to the eyes, nose, ear, mouth, etc., arising from the subtle consciousness. So if your subtle consciousness in your previous life was practicing compassion and love and effort, then in this life, your gross mind will immediately engage in that action again, even as a young child. And therefore, you have tuples. Highly evolved reincarnated beings that even at a very young age, they start reciting. They start meditating. They can remember. They recognize Dharma. They like the Lamas. They like the Buddhas. They're naturally attracted. Why? Because the minute their gross mind opens, their gross functions open, it will be a reflection of their subtle mind. So these attainments that you gain from Dharma practice, you never lose. Because they're associated with your subtle mind, and that's what your mind takes rebirth every single lifetime. So it will be more smart for us not to focus on pleasing our mouth, our ear, our nose, our tactile feeling, our comfort. It will be more valuable to please and to develop our subtle mind, which the gross mind arises. Why would you spend time on something you keep for a short time? Every life is something different. Then what happens if you're born deaf and dumb? Then all the time you spent in your previous life on sight and sound is wasted. You're born deaf and dumb. But the subtle mind is not wasted because it arises from that. And on top of that, when you develop the subtle mind, it affects your gross activity. When it affects your gross activity, karma is changed. From your gross mind, activities, negative or positive, arise. If your subtle mind is habitually toward negative habits, intoxicants, money, drugs, sex, fun, lying, cheating, tricking people, then your gross mind when you're born will be used to doing that. So if your previous life always irresponsible, this life, the minute you get your eyes, your body, you welcome out, you're Mr. Irresponsibility again. And then you create more negative karma. If in your previous life you practiced the meditation of awareness and you cut this out and you're aware, every single life when you come back, whether you're a small little kid or you're a grown adult, you will have that kind of awareness. Life after life. And each life, it becomes better and better and better. And your actions will also reflect your subtle mind. Why? What you think deep down inside will be reflected what you on the outside. On the outside, your actions. So it would be more smarter to engage in the practices of the six paramitas, deity yoga, guru devotion, preliminary practices, generosity, creating statues, helping people to get Dharma, being kind, being aware. Why? Those qualities, when you develop, although every lifetime, it will manifest differently, but the motivation is the same. It arises from your subtle mind. So most of us waste our time developing the gross mind. We don't even look at the subtle mind. And therefore, we waste our life. If you're the greatest artist, ballerina, dancer in the world, who cares at the time of death? Who cares? You still go to death with hatred, ignorance, desire, lust. In your next life, you can be a pig. You can be another ballerina. You can be a housewife. You can be a husband. You can be a driver. You can be in the God realms. You can go and born as a snake. You can be born as a hell realm. It doesn't matter. Why? Because the things you did from your gross mind creates actions for you to be reborn here and there. Therefore, even the gross mind affects where you will be reborn because you don't cut the habit. Therefore, it behooves us, it's very smart for us to do the meditation on awareness, especially in conjunction with the sadhana, example, Guru Yoga Lama Tsongkhapa, and the mantra practices, to recite Mictama, to have the honor to sit at the center twice a week to recite Mictama and to focus. That's what you can do, awareness meditation, and you will see yourself improve. You think it's useless? You're silly. I only like Dharma talks, I don't like chanting. You don't know anything, that's why you say that. You don't know anything. You don't know the benefits. And so therefore, subtle mind is the mind of who we really are. From that mind arises the gross mind, which uses the gross faculties of the body in every life. So if you're born as a dog, your gross faculties will be less. You'll be less aware, you'll do less things, you're able to comprehend less. Why? Because the gross capacity, the gross body, G-R-O-S-S, is much less to accommodate. Therefore, a person can be a dog in their previous life, and this life they can be a professor. The faculties are different. And where you collect your faculty, your faculties, your body, where, is dependent on the karma you create. So if we waste our whole life on eating, sleeping, winning, being right, non-discipline, money, miserliness, if we spend our whole life on that, the actions that we accrue and we get will result in the same results that you've been, exactly how you've acted. And therefore, people who have taken refuge and know the result of cause and effect, you know what they do? They don't focus on all these small things. These small things, they give away, they give this, they help. Very easy. Why? They don't waste time on things that don't bring them benefit, long and short term. But they do things that affect their subtle mind. So therefore, when we do practices such as the water offerings, tanka, setting up altar, the six preliminary practices. When we do these things, we affect the subtle mind. We collect merit. How? We collect merit so that when we do positive spiritual practices, we don't get distracted. It's easy. It's more smooth. It's more quick. Then when we do positive spiritual practices, we affect the subtle mind to make it closer to a Buddha mind. And so when you die, when you take rebirth again, that subtle mind will manifest in a new body. Again, it will manifest in a gross. And then that gross mind will manifest in gross actions. And it doesn't matter whether your actions are looks good or bad. Because if your subtle mind has a positive motivation, even your actions look bad to conventional people, it will bring you good merits. And people don't understand that. People have an idea, lamas or rinpoches or whatever, should act this way, or talk this way, or be this way, or be that way. That is your convention. That is your mind that is limited, that you limit what a mind that is more developed can and cannot do. So then you have doubt. You cannot gain faith. Why? You cannot gain faith not because your guru is wrong or right, because your view is narrow due to lack of knowledge. So what you can and cannot do is your own convention. Your own convention. Example, in India, if you step on someone's feet, it's very bad. It's an insult. They can really fight you. But in America, you step on people's feet, sorry. That's cultural. Similarly, we're not concerned about the gross mind, we're concerned about the subtle mind. All practices of Dharma is to lead us to that mind. And how do we get led to that mind? A, listening and contemplation. B, the collection of vast merits to support the practice. C, effort, effort, effort.